Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
And he's laughing at me. Again.
Always. Our guest today. What a treat.
He is. He's a treat. Mm-hmm. He has a band and of which you are not a member.
Are you a member of his band?
No, but I don't work with him. But I've never met the man until today.
That is bonkers that you have been doing this for 742 years and you have never met our guest today.
Because he's been doing it for 742 years as well.
I know. It's kind of remarkable.
I don't know. Maybe we've met somewhere along the line.
No, but our guest today, we're going to talk about Hershey Park. We're going to talk about Dollywood.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about singing on cruise ships.
And his boots.
And his boots. you may know him from Passions, and you definitely know him where he plays Brady Black on Days of Our Lives. Our guest today is none other than
Eric Martzoff.
When we come back.
I'm so happy we have Eric Martzoff.
Eric Martzoff.
From Days of Our Lives, who we looked at each other and we were like, how have we not met? Because we both are, you know.
Veterans.
Not super huge young. Superstars, soap
we're,
people.
You were huge
the fact
soap
that
stars.
We haven't crossed paths is a criminal.
I mean.
Well, here we are. It's so happening today.
He was like, have I met you? Have we not met?
I
guess we haven't.
Well, our little community is very.
It's a small
shall
community.
Shall I say incestuous? I mean, we all
it
know
is.
Each other.
It's true.
We all kind of root for each other.
It is true.
And, you know.
That is true.
I'm very, very but pleased to meet you for
I'm,
the first
I'm
time.
I'm so happy to meet you. I will say, though, I was in New York for most of my soap journey.
Right.
Although I've been out here for a while.
Almost.
General Hospital.
But certainly the beginning
beautiful,
of it.
But anyway, I want to talk about you.
Okay. Well, and, I want to talk about you. Can we do a whole other show where I just ask you questions?
I want to talk about you.
Excuse me. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Yeah, forget that he's here. I know you work with him, okay? I want to talk about your little musical theater career that you had going before.
That was a little is the understatement. Yeah, that was my life, and I'm happy to talk about that.
So we're going right to Hershey Park. That's where we're starting?
It's a very sweet place
Dollywood.
To start.
I've been there.
Dollywood? Wasn't it Dollywood as well?
There's Dollywood as well. Well, where do you want to start? Okay, so here's what happened.
Where did you grow up exactly?
In Pennsylvania.
Sorry, go Eric, please.
I went to college at a small liberal arts college called Dickinson College. My father went to Dickinson Law School. And I thought I was destined to be a lawyer. Thought that's what my dad wanted. Thought that's what I wanted in my head. And yeah, normal life. And my dad was a wonderful attorney. Pretty good attorney because he was an honest man. Mm. So he was a fine attorney. But I admired the heck out of him and the way in which he took care of his family. And he was just a good dad. Great guy.
Mm.
So I wanted to do that. The problem was I was the red sheep of the family. I had this inkling to, you know, perform. And dance and sing and be crazy. And the idea of sitting behind a desk and listening to people's problems scared me.
Did you have siblings?
Yeah, I had a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he had those same inklings as well to dance and perform. But the hard thing was I was in high school. I was a sports guy. I was mm-hmm. a jock.
Mm-hmm.
But I also loved music. I loved the trumpet. I was in the choir.
Wait, you played the trumpet?
I played the trumpet. In the jazz band.
Oh, I wish we had a
until
trumpet.
I got braces.
Oh my God!
And the only wax that they made in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to deaden, you know, to play the trumpet, those braces go right into your, you know.
I played the trumpet briefly.
And the wax was pink, so I constantly had pink remnants of wax in my teeth.
Hot.
Which it's not good
it's
for
hot.
A kid in high school. It's not hot.
It's
not
so easy to begin
sexy.
With. Add some pink wax into your braces.
Right, and I'm bleeding during solos and stuff. I'm like, this is dumb. But so I have this dual life of sports.
What sport?
Football team. I was a football player. I was a soccer player. I was on the tennis team. I was in the choir. I was in the band. But I also hung out with the dudes in the leather jackets that smoked behind the building because I sang in a rock band. And these guys recruited me. I'm wearing my polo shirt, you know, with my, you know, Ralph Lauren. And these guys came up to me one day. I'll never forget it. They came up and they're like, hey, man, come here. I was nervous of these guys. These guys were they called them Heads. I don't know, that was the name Heads, like the scary.
What is this, the 50s?
You're basically Danny Zuko.
I know.
They were,
like,
the T-Birds.
Are we in Greece right now?
The T-Birds came up to me
I'm
and
so
like,
confused.
We heard you sing, man. Like, nah, I'm in the choir, like, we're starting a band. And before I knew it, I'm in these dudes' garage, you know, going, Tommy used to work on the dock, singing, Living on a Prayer. And the next minute, I'm out touring around Pennsylvania with these guys that have hair down to their knees. And I got my little cute little mullet. And it was just hilarious.
Wait, so this is in high school?
Yes, this was in high school. So I'm in all these different areas. Yeah. And I don't really know where I'm belong.
You're casting a wide net.
Right. And so I go to college and I still have this, do I become a lawyer? Do I do this other thing? And my job outside of college was at Hershey Park. I was a singer who moved well. I was not a dancer. I want to say that on record. I was not a dancer.
Show me some
a double moves. Threat.
I moved well.
He's a double threat.
I did the mashed potato and stuff. But I loved it. I loved it. And I got paid for it. And this was amazing. This was my first job. So my senior year ends. I'm at graduation. And my father takes me to lunch, graduation day. He says, so what are you going to do? And with great trepidation, I said, Dad, I think I want to go to New York to get this acting thing out of my system. I know the failure rate of it. The likelihood of me being able to make a living, nil. But let me go, so I have no regrets. And I don't know, he took it in his sandwich, he put it down for a second, he said, I'm so glad you're coming to this decision, because I don't love being a lawyer, Eric. It's a wonderful occupation, I take care of my family, but I've seen you light up on stage. When you're doing Grease and the whole Grease lighting, like, I've never seen you so happy and in your element and smile, like, do that. He's like, I don't look forward to Monday morning, Eric. If you can find something that you do where you look forward to Monday morning and you're happy, you won.
How did you feel in that moment?
It was like a big bag of bricks just came off my shoulders. My father just basically gave me the green light to go do something that was unstable, scary, reckless.
But I did you?
And at that age, we're looking for your parents'
validation,
blessing. Yeah.
But did you go into that lunch feeling like, because you had already made that decision?
Right? Yeah, I went. I totally had that bullet in my gun. I'm going to give it to my dad. I'm going to be like, I'm going to go be an actor.
But did you think that it was going to go as well as it did?
No. Greg, I had every reason to believe that he was going to say, hey, that's the irresponsible choice.
By the way,
he just spent tons of money on this Dickinson education.
We have the same story.
I know we kind of do.
Yeah. And I actually went to college in Pennsylvania too. But when I told my parents that I didn't want to go to New York, I wanted to come out to LA. And my dad, same thing, after paying a lot of money for my college education, said, well, I'll drive out to California with you.
Isn't that great to have a dad like that? By the way, my mom was just as supportive.
Don't leave out mom.
When I auditioned for My Fair Lady, I played Henry Higgins in eighth grade. The most misogynistic character in musical theater history, Henry Higgins. You know, why can't a woman be more like a man? I'm an eighth grader singing this stuff. And I didn't want to audition, but I had a crush on a girl. And I knew she was going to be in the show. And my mom was like, well, Eric, the only song I know on the piano is The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. So that should be your audition song because we can practice it. I said, Mom, that's a girl's song. That's Annie. Why would I do that? And she's like, because you're going to sound great. That's one. And she did it. And I sang The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. And I got Henry Higgins.
Wow.
I was scared to death. I'm like, I just want to be in the back, you know? And nope, you're the lead. And the same thing happened when I auditioned for Grease. I just kind of wanted to be a T-Bird in the back.
Mm. And you're meant for the spotlight, my friend.
Dude,
Okay, so the journey takes you to New York.
Yeah, went to New York. Got my little backstage newspaper, remember backstage, highlighted all the things where I could go into a room and just sing songs. And I had my James Ingram Just Once song in my pocket. So I just walk into rooms and go, just once, can we find a way to, okay, thank you. All right, thank you.
Oh no.
You walk out after 10 seconds of singing, hoping for the best. And I did that until I ran out of my Hershey Park money. And finally I was living in Manhattan, so I had to go to Jersey City and live with a fellow Hershey Park performer in a basement that was flooded in Jersey City. It looked like Sesame Street on crack. Mm-hmm. I heard a gunshot every day when I was coming home from the PATH train.
How long?
About a year.
Okay. And then what was the
year? And then I got a phone call. I was sitting in that flooded basement. I'll never forget, it was winter. My feet were wet.
Oh God.
My socks were wet because I had kind of like a sleeping bag / futon thing. And the phone rang, you know, the one with the cord.
We know phones. Yes.
We know phones. Yeah.
A lot of folks don't. There were phones with cords.
I am slightly younger than you.
I know. We talk about it.
By 2 years.
And this guy said, "My name is Chip Lavely. You don't know me. Somebody referred you to me. I need a baritone on the USS Independence on the American Hawaii Cruise Line Monday. It's a 4-person Manhattan Transfer type show. It's 2 shows a week, The Music of America and then Independence Canteen. Other than that, that's the extent of your responsibilities. I need someone for 9 months. Will you come? I have a ticket waiting for you at the airport." And I said, "Let me think about it." Okay. And I left New York and got on a plane, and I was in Hawaii, and I was a singer on a Hawaiian cruise ship for 9 months.
That just sailed around the Hawaiian Islands?
It was a week itinerary. Mm-hmm. You sailed at night, and every morning you woke up on a new island.
Wow.
And each island, I would have a new flavor of whatever I would want to do. Kona, I would snorkel. Kauai, I would ride my mountain bike.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Do what people do on Maui.
What did that experience teach you?
It taught me, and it secured the fact that I would never be a lawyer for the rest of my life.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm a kid out here getting paid to sing Zippity Doodah on a boat. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but I...
Sounds like a good thing.
My parents were so impressed and played. Like, oh my God, he's out in Hawaii, like singing to people and wearing a tux. And I was 10. I was like, it was just crazy. I'm like, is this my life? Like, this can't be it. Like, this is a dream.
So is that like a 9-month long contract?
It was 9 months. I started to go a little crazy, by the way,
by
that 9 months. Because you do feel, when you're on a boat in the middle of nowhere singing Disney songs, you're like, who am I?
Yeah.
What's going on in the mainland?
Mm-hmm. Island fever.
I met some of Dolly Parton's people. They came up to me and said, "We want you to do a Christmas show in the Smoky Mountains at Dollywood." I said, "What? What is Dollywood?" "It's Dolly's theme park, and we think you'd be a great like moderator for our Christmas show." Okay. I still to this day have not learned the word no. I think you know this about me. I have a hard time going no. I just say okay, see where that'll go. I was in Dollywood a couple weeks after that cruise ship gig, and I found myself meeting Dolly Parton, sang with her for a little while.
Oh, amazing.
And I was supposed to stay 3 months, and I stayed 3 years. I had a chalet in Gatlinburg in the mountains.
I would go
in the forest and chop my own firewood.
Really?
I stayed with 2 other guys that were in the show, and
what was she like, and what did you sing together?
Did you?
This is pretty good.
Did you get to know her?
I actually don't even know how much of this I can appropriately tell, but let's just say that Dolly is a lovely, terrific, grounded flirt. She loves people. She loves her Dollywood community.
I interviewed her.
They love her. You did?
I did. I did a talk show in New York, and I interviewed her, and I was pregnant. I was really pregnant. She kept saying, "Girl, am I going to have to deliver that baby?" Because, I mean, I was really pregnant, but she was... Everything you would hope, like you meet these people that you admire, and sometimes I wish I'd never met you.
Disappointed.
Like when
don't meet your heroes, right?
You know, don't like meet when? Your heroes. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah,
anyway,
tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, so tell us your Dolly experience, because mine was so short. So did you get to know her for 3 years?
Here's how I remember it, and I was young, but I swear to God, this is how it happened.
Have another sip of your Tito's.
I was told, okay, so you're going to meet Dolly at the Celebrity Theater tomorrow. You guys are going to be doing a song. They were opening up a 50s area of the park. Whole like Grease kind of thing. Like you're basically, you know, you're kind of the Danny guy. She'll kind of be the Sandy girl. And you're going to do a couple performances together. Okay. Meet her at the theater tomorrow. So I walk into the theater and I see her up on stage and she's doing scales with a piano player. And there she is.
Wow.
It's like 8 a.m. She's beat with heels and looking great.
Yeah, of course.
I have sweats on. I'm like, oh my God, stop. I walk up. I say, "Hi, Emma." She's like, "I know who you are." Can you tell me where the bathroom is in this place, baby? And I was like, oh, bathroom.
It's your theme park. Don't you
That's
know?
Exactly. Did I tell you the story? No. I said, "Well, Dolly, your name's on the theater. Don't you think you should know where the bathroom is?" This is like something really cute and adorable, and it was instant. I got it at that moment. There was no ego. There was no uppityness. Just a girl that loved music and wanted to wanted to have fun. And I've taken that experience that I had with her. That likability factor of hers is just amazing.
How to treat people. Everybody. Yeah.
And she was always there at rehearsal. Beat, as we know her, just hair and just everything. But, and she would run in those 8-inch heels. Like, she'd run across the stage. And it was just amazing to see how professional she was and how she handled herself. And that whole community is in love with her.
Do you think she, was she your first?
No.
That was the first end of the question. That, no, just your first. Was Dolly Parton your first? Did you lose your virginity?
No,
to Dolly
I did not lose my virginity. No, no.
No, but was she? She
kissed me on the cheek, though, in the show. That was pretty cute.
That's very sweet. But I'm saying, was she the first example that you, you know, your first mentor as to how to behave professionally?
Yeah. Yeah, it was not so much her professionalism as just her, hey, we're a team.
Yeah. Love that.
You know, my name may be up there, but, you know, the show is only as good as our team. That falls right into Drake Hogeston.
Yes.
You know, my dad, who I just walked this weekend for the pancreatic cancer walk. I had many reasons to do it. I lost my mother to pancreatic cancer.
I'm sorry.
I lost Drake to pancreatic cancer. And fictitiously, I lost my TV mom to pancreatic cancer. Isabella Black died after giving birth to Brady Black.
Oh, wow.
So all this stuff, I was like, wow. So we walked this weekend. But he was another one. He came from baseball, Drake, as most people
Drake
know.
Drake was John, Black on Days of Our Lives.
Who John played Black. Your father. John and Marlena, I mean.
Just, you know, some people may not know.
So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get bigger than, if you're watching this podcast, you need to know John and Marlena.
Yeah, you do.
And but he always stressed the team. He was never... There was never any individual about Drake. He was always about, but he learned that from sports, which I came from too. I spent my early years on soaps. I'm 23 years in now. And my big thing was, I love to tell press that I don't think there should be a leading actor category in this particular genre.
Even after you got nominated as a leading actor?
I know, and I'm a hypocrite. I blame the publicity department. They're like, you need to do lead out. I'm like,
it's so
going
true.
Against
Isn't that
everything
interesting? They told me to submit for lead this year. And I'm like, really? I don't, it's well, it weird feels, because I feel like everyone's supporting each other. It's like true. Almost like,
but they're,
we
they're,
are. How and, do you differentiate a lead from
know,
a supporting?
I
the
know.
Amount of screen time. Yeah.
For me, it feels almost like a rite of passage in a way, because that was one of the first lessons I learned on Young and Restless. I'm sure I've said this here before. Jeannie Cooper would say the star of the show is the show, but within that family tree, right? There mm-hmm. there is still, for someone who has been on the show for 20 years, you are a lead of that show. And I think seeing yourself that way and being perceived that way doesn't make you a diva or in any way. It just means that, oh, you have a responsibility as Brady to be who you are on that set. Josh Morrow talks about that. Just like, you know, you lead by example and you are a leader. In that role.
I can't disagree with that, of course. And I think ultimately that was why I said, okay, you know, I have put in my dues and it's been a while. And even my kids, my two boys were like, duh.
Oh my God, I want to get to
you. Gotta
that.
Go
I wanna get
for
to that.
The lead. You're lead now. And yeah. I'm like, I know. But respectfully, Greg, I also believe that you're only as good as the person you're swapping lines with.
Mm-hmm.
I credited this woman when I won mine in 2014. I got up on stage and I didn't even plan this. Yeah.
When I won my
it was the only one I won. But I was paired up with Eileen Davidson they did
amazing.
The whole Brady and Kristen pairing, which was that was pretty weird at the time because fans were like, whoa, she's sleeping with the son is sleeping with the dad's
with
girlfriend
the
from the 90s. Like, really? Mm-hmm. And Eileen and I just kind of, well, let's roll with this, see where it goes. And Kristen Brady are
incredible.
Still a pairing to
she's
this
incredible.
Day, decades later. But she elevated my game a little bit. And I realized that, okay, I can play ping pong with
the great
the
Eileen
vets,
Davidson. Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. I felt good about that. And that's another reason why I decided to finally go for lead actor.
Good. Yeah.
And hey, let's face it, man, we're not going back. Okay?
We're not going back.
Fine,
by the
we're
way,
leads from now on. Fine.
I think we made that leap just around, 2024 or 2025?
2024, actually. I think the last three times. Okay. I was nominated.
We'll talk.
We lost together, didn't we?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
but
fun.
But we lost to Paul Telfer, which is okay. We
love Paul, whatever.
We can't go from Dollywood to Days. No, we have to.
I understand. There's some moments in between.
Did your parents get to see you at Dollywood?
They did. They did. They did. My father, when Dolly Parton was, put your head on my shoulder, and just kissing me on the cheek and the neck and stuff. And boy,
did he
was jealous of his son in that moment. I could tell.
Did your parents meet her?
Did they? I can't remember. Mm. The whole thing was just a blur.
Okay, so what's the journey then from Dollywood to
Passions?
It's a good one. So I'm at Dollywood. I'm very content. I'm having the time of my life. Love the mountains, love the people. I get another phone call. That was the connectivity of it, was another Hershey Park fellow performer.
Wow.
That had been on a Broadway tour of Grease. It was a non-equity tour. It was a non-union tour of Grease. Mm-hmm. And they called me up and said, we are looking for a pharaoh for our new production of Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's going to be a non-equity tour. Would you be interested in flying to Illinois and singing this? And I said what I always say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And I flew to Illinois and they had me in this recording studio and I sang the Song of the King, which the pharaoh in Joseph is Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically Elvis. And I did my thing and they hired me on the spot.
Wow.
They said, get your stuff together, fly back to Tennessee. We'll see you on the road in 2 weeks.
Did you have a contract at Dollywood?
I did, but they gracefully let me out of it. Great. As a matter of fact, it was the higher ups at Dollywood that said, you need to go do this.
Aww.
I didn't really want to go. I'm really happy here. And they're like, you need to go spread your wings. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Go. We love you. Go. Remember, you're only supposed to be here for 3 months. You've been here 3 years. Get your butt out of here. And I did. And I was on the road with the non-equity tour for about a year and a half. Then the show went equity. They fired my entire cast.
Including you?
No.
Oh.
Me and three other cast members were given our equity cards.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Right? And they're like, you have 1 week and then you're going to go meet your equity cast in New York. Now, I was not happy about it. It's like, you fired all my friends, the ones that made this show what it is. Why not give everyone their cards? And, you know, it's not the way it works. So I flew to New York, went in that rehearsal hall, bitter. And then I saw this girl across the room that was practicing her dance, the featured dance in Joseph. And that chick would later become my wife. And I was like,
Okay, I'm not so bitter.
I like her. But it actually was beautiful. I got to tour with a lot of Osmonds. Alan Osmond, who just passed away. Hmm. All of his seven sons were in the show.
Wow.
Six sons? Seven, maybe. Maybe 14. I don't know. Patrick Cassidy was in there. Debbie Gibson was in there. It was just a powerhouse cast. And then the show was very successful. And I stayed with that for another 2 years.
Touring.
Yeah, touring. Then the tour ended. And Lisa said, let's go to L.A. Because she had been a dancer in L.A. She had danced with J-Lo and Paula Abdul and all those folks and worked as a dancer for a long time. And she's like, it's fun there. It's really fun. I was like, no. I'm going to go back to New York and be Gaston. In Beauty and the Beast. That's what I'm going back to New York. That's my full circle moment. And we had become very good friends with a woman named Jodie Benson, who happens to be the original voice of Ariel, the Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
She is now my kid's she is the godmother to my sons. Oh, mm-hmm. So we're very dear friends. And she took me by the head and went, baby, you need to go to LA.
How old were you?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
25-ish?
26, 27. 28, 29. I don't know. I don't know. I was young.
You were young.
20s.
I was younger. And between she and Lisa probing me, I was like, all right, I'll go try LA. And I came here and I lived in a little apartment in North Hollywood with Lisa and we ran out of money and we were catering. I was bartending. I was doing everything. I worked at Universal Studios. I did like seven shows there. I was, oh my gosh, yeah.
For how long before you started to get some?
About a year and a half.
Was that must have been hard though, because it seems like it was a pretty easy, minus the 9 months in Jersey City. It had been a pretty steady ascent for you.
Yeah, that's fair to say. It was a steady ascent.
So what was, did you feel like you had sort of got knocked on your ass a bit during that time when you were catering? And
it was,
what
a big,
was that like?
I was doing the Pharaoh. I was singing Elvis to the biggest houses in the United States and Canada and getting all this eruptive applause and all this validation. Then you're back
bartending.
Here. And I was in a children's theater production. I worked for a children's theater where I directed some shows. I starred in some shows. And that's when a manager who was managing one of the young girls came knocking on my door. Her name was Brooke Bundy. And she said, I would like to send you out for some stuff. And that was the beginning of me starting to get auditions for, I think my first one was actually for Young and the Restless. Then another one came for Days, but I found myself in that little
that was your lane.
And I felt it coming mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and eventually did with Passions.
And so what was that time like? That show was very unique.
Passions?
Yeah.
Unique. That's a cool word. Look,
it's a good description.
Here's the deal. We knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
We knew what it was. We were told you're not a real soap opera. It's all supernatural mumbo jumbo. By the way, the reason that show came about.
I think I know the story.
The
right?
possession storyline on Days of Our Lives was so popular that James Riley, who was the writer, was asked by the network to, can you create a soap with solely this crazy
stuff? Yeah.
Passions was born and he was writing both shows simultaneously.
But do you think you're, like, you knew what you were doing, and it, I'm sure there was an element of it all being sort of tongue-in-cheek, but was your preparation, like, any different than it is for the way you prepare to play Brady? Or were you like, no, this is, we're going to commit to the outlandish.
No, it's the same. You hit the nail. We had to commit. We knew that material was lunacy. Hmm. It was nuts. But it didn't work at all unless you dove all the way into that swimming pool. And most of us did. I had hard times.
What was your craziest, hardest storyline that you had?
Just seeing walls bleeding and, you know, little people coming to life and running around and, oh God. But there was Josh who played Timmy.
Oh yeah.
Such a dedicated guy. And,
was it Juliet Mills?
Juliet Mills played the witch.
Dedicated, yeah.
Played the witch, but I was actually fortunate. Ethan, I was in a love triangle with Lindsay Hartley and Liza Huber.
I was going to say, you who were was just Eric, Liza.
By the way,
yeah, because I, yeah.
You know Liza,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Liza Huber, who is
Susan Lucci's biological daughter. Yeah. And she
I
was
love how
my,
you say biological. You've been in
well,
soaps for so long.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. You got to differentiate.
She was raised
between
by aliens, but biologically, she's Susan
right.
Lucci.
Right, but when she came off the spacecraft, then she biologically was made by Erica Kane. Wait, no, Susan Lucci. They really
too.
Committed
Lindsay's
to that. They really committed to that triangle on Passions mm-hmm. for 9 years. Mm-hmm. It was that triangle.
Wow.
And we all know in today's day and day, I mean, couples are swapped out at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
In my opinion, sometimes much too quickly. Mm-hmm. You got to let these things cultivate and simmer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's what fans want.
I agree.
Actually, I know that that's what they want.
I agree.
And they did. They cooked that triangle for as much as they could, and it was great. So there was a lot of soap opera education in that one little triangle that I was a part of.
Were you on that show till the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big day when that show ended.
Mm-hmm. Were you on from the very beginning of that
no,
show?
No, no. I was. I did audition for Ethan Crane in the very beginning. Did not get it. Travis Schult got the role. And 3 years later, he voluntarily left and I was brought on. Can I tell you a quick little story
Please.
About my audition?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was the casting director?
Jackie Briskey. And I went in to read for Ethan. And within the dialogue was the word precedent. Precedent. So I'm doing my audition. You know how this goes. I'm like, yeah, well, Teresa, the precedent of the case is obvious. And Jackie went, I'm sorry. Stop. I don't usually stop. I apologize. I'm like, no, it's fine. Thank you for saying the word precedent correctly. You have no idea how many handsome idiots have walked in here and gone, said precedent and precedent and precedent and whatever. but you said the word correct. I just want to say thanks. We would like to say thanks. Dawn Phillips Smith was her assistant at the time. And I said, I didn't think it was that tough of a word to say. I mean, I did go, I have a pre-law degree. I don't know if that has anything, because I used the word precedent a lot in my former and she's like, you're a lawyer? I'm like, no, I was going to be a lawyer. And well, this character's a lawyer. I'm like, I know. He talks about precedence a lot. And she gave me that thing and she looked at him and she went, I'm going to test you tomorrow.
Wow.
So that's our little lesson of how sometimes we get the jobs. It's not always
I know
customary.
But knowing how to pronounce things is will give you a leg
up. Isn't it great really to know your words good?
But it really it feels like your path was kind of, it was meant to be, because doors just opened for you. I mean, yes, there was that time in your life where it was challenging, but sure. You just, those doors just kept opening.
Well, I called my dad that day and I said, Dad, I don't think I'm ever going to be a lawyer, but I just may have booked a job as a lawyer on a soap opera. He's like, really? That's great. I'm like, yeah. So you're all that money you put towards my education, it might just pay off, but crazy.
You were close with your dad and your mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you lose them both within like months of each other?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It was nuts. Pancreatic took her quick. Within 9 months. That's what you read on the internet. It's so true.
And this was what year?
This was about 2021, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago. And they were together since they were kids. I have a picture of them up in Michigan, and she is leading him onto a dance floor, and she's all of 13, and he's like 15. And they're in their little suits. And like, so they were childhood sweethearts. And when she passed, I could tell in my dad's eyes that he lost his girl, and he died 4 months later, just of a broken heart. He had a heart attack.
I'm so sorry.
And it's actually quite beautiful. I mean, it's the most romantic thing. I mean, they loved each other that much that he just didn't want to go on without her. And he died on Father's Day.
Mm. Oh,
and that was so that was rough too. So it's not all sunshine and bubblegum.
Was he,
you know,
was that sudden?
Yeah.
Because he had a heart attack, right?
Yeah, he had heart issues. It's funny, I know you had Missy Claire Egan on here earlier, and I texted her and I said, yeah, I just got my calcium score done and all, because he had a stent. My dad had a heart stent, I think at 49, but he did live a different lifestyle. He was a lawyer. He sat in a chair, didn't move, didn't exercise.
Yeah.
Most
a different
of
time.
For decades, I was asking him to join the gym with me. Let's, you know, let's do this. And it's hard to get your parents to do something that they're just.
It's not hard.
It's not
possible.
It's hard.
Were your kids close with your parents, your boys?
They didn't get to see him a lot.
No.
And I'll tell you why, because they became very sedentary with their Harrisburg life, and they didn't really like to leave their kitchen.
Harrisburg, capital of Pennsylvania. My daughter was learning the state capital, so.
Really? It is the capital.
She's very smart.
Smart cookie over here. It was tough because I had Philly over here and Pittsburgh over here, and they all had football teams, and I'm like, what does Harrisburg have?
But when you're in Harrisburg, or do you feel closer to Western PA or Eastern PA?
Pittsburgh, because my grandparents were from Pittsburgh. Gotcha. So I spent a lot of Easter's there, and we were there a lot. My parents they were in love. They would go to Bermuda and drop Justin and I off in Pittsburgh to hang out with Grandma and Papa.
Wow.
Which was fine, actually, because they were cool, and they took us to a lot of shows in Pittsburgh. It was a lot of culture, a lot of hockey games, and it was wonderful.
So you didn't get back there as often with your boys as much as you'd like?
No.
We know how our schedules are. It's hard.
It's hard, and they also became very, they didn't want to fly. My father was genuinely nervous to fly and travel, and you know, Eric, can you bring him out here? And I was like, Dad, I'm having trouble with this soap opera schedule doing anything, because we didn't always have these dark weeks.
I know.
These chunks.
I know.
I mean, Ethan Crane on Passions, I worked every day for 6 years, no breaks, and I just didn't have the chunks of time to get my, you know, to do anything. So they were not as close as they should have been, and that is a big regret of mine. Because I can't wait to get to know my boys' kids.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to happen too soon. They're only 20. but
well, they're
that's
studs.
Gonna be great. Yeah, yeah, they're pretty cool.
Good luck with that.
I know. You have some handsome twins there.
Yeah, my wife and I, we did okay.
Yeah, you sure did.
Sometimes I'll just look at them, and just watch them, and they'll look at me. Just stare at them. It's good. They're just like these. And they're twins too, so it's weird.
Yeah, they have that. Do they have that unspoken twin language?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they're water polo players too. So once in a while, mm-hmm. they'll just have that weird twin moment of have the ball. Oh, yeah. The other team is wait, like, they what play, just happened? Wait,
do they play in school in college, or do they play college?
Yeah, they're they've been playing at LA Valley for the last 2 years, and it looks like as of a couple hours ago, they're going to be going to UC San Diego.
Amazing.
And congrats. Chase has been recruited by the coach.
Wow.
To go and play for D1 San Diego, and he is beyond the moon excited.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mason, on the other hand, has decided that he thinks partying is more of a priority than playing D1 water polo. And so twins can be very different people.
Well, I have a question, because you mentioned that Drake Hogestyn was like a father to you. Was he close to your family, your kids? Like, did you see him a lot outside of work? Or?
I didn't see Drake a lot outside of work. We did a couple fan events together, but he was a family man in his own right. He was busy with, you didn't even have to ask him what he was doing on his dark weeks. He's like, he's with his family. I just spent a lot of time yesterday with his two daughters at the Pancreatic Walk. And we just swapped stories for that whole 2.5 miles. And they just loved him so much. He was always there and always active and always present.
Was he your first scene partner when you made the transition from Passions over to Days?
Passions ended, and I had about 6 months of the time change. But yeah, what now? Dipping into my 401k. I'm like, I have no money. Oh
did you have
God.
Kids at this point?
Yes.
They were one. I had just bought a new house in the valley. They were one.
Yeah.
I mean, my audition for Days, I auditioned to be Ali Sweeney's love interest, which would later become Rafe Hernandez. Now, if I knew the character was going to be Rafe Hernandez, I might have typed myself out of that. But it was myself and like seven other guys, most of which we all know. It was just a lineup of guys that had experience.
Yes.
So I didn't get it. Galen ended up getting Rafe Hernandez.
Who also came from Passions.
Yes, we have the very same trajectory. And they called me up about 2 weeks later. I have my kids in their double stroller in Porter Ranch wondering how I'm going to pay for this house. And,
oh, no.
Oh, my God. Marnie calls me up. Eric, can you get your butt to the studio right now? I'm like, why? I didn't get the job. She's like, well, maybe you got a job. They want you for Brady Black. They want to bring back this character. He's been off the canvas for about 3 years. And I said, Marnie, oh my God, that is such great news. I have my kids. My wife's out of town. She's like, bring your kids. That's bring Marnie. Them up. Drop them off at my office.
That's Marnie.
Okay. And I dropped him off at her office, went and met with Gary Tomlin, and he said, you're Brady now. Here's your backstory. Welcome to the show. I'm like,
I get chills. Yeah, such a great
those moments.
Story.
And it happened at the best, most fortuitous time.
Yeah.
And I went back to Marnie's and I knocked on the door. I'm like, Marnie, there are my kids. One has the Apple remote in his hand or whatever, hitting it against the desk. The other one's playing with the keyboard. And she's like, congratulations, get your kids out of my office now. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I love you. Just send me the bill for the damage. I'm like, love you, get out of here. I'm like, okay, and I left. And Lisa eventually came home and I said, I'm on Days now. And we cried and we hugged. And I've been with Days ever since. It's 23 years now, and I've only had 6 months off.
Wow.
And it's been an absolute blessing. And I did what my dad asked me to do.
What's that?
Found something that I look forward to Monday mornings. Mm. I genuinely do.
Well,
I love it.
I feel like you've said this before, but it's where it's, you know, luck is like opportunity meeting preparation. Like the cream rises to the top.
That's one of my favorite sayings.
I know. I did my research, but I also know you. We've had a chat or two.
Yes, we have.
But you know, it's not just luck. It's not just being prepared. It's also having a talent and a skill, and that is what sustains all of us in this business. So,
okay. Yeah, you got to have that.
So
looking pretty is fine, but
Well, that can
be. I just love the idea of substance over style. Also, I understand what soaps are, but I think the longevity of them is about finding the people that have that substance to them that make you want to watch them for longer than a couple minutes.
So why do you think people should be tuning into soaps these days? For that?
Well, my main reason for telling people to watch soaps is to just get the escapism that they need. Mm-hmm. Life is hard enough. Mm-hmm. I know what being a parent is like. I know how necessary it is to get that oxygen into your brain and to just be able to go.
Yeah.
And my favorite stories are the fans that come up and say, you know, I was in the hospital for a long time. And the only damn thing I looked forward to was 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And that hour that I could mm-hmm. just not get poked with needles or the chemo or whatever they were going through. And they'd say, I don't know if you think what you do is very important, but you might have saved my life because it got me through weeks, if not months, of being in there. So I have a newfound respect for what we do. Because I think for a long time, you tend to lose perspective. You go to your little warehouse and you say your lines, you drive home and what am I doing?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, but you ride the waves of where you are in your life, right? And I for sure have had moments where maybe I took it for granted and then it goes away and then you rediscover the gratitude and in a way that's deeper and more tangible, I guess, than it ever was. But I don't know if you were on set. We had a visitor like a week or two ago. Were you there? Randy was showing them around the studio.
I don't think so.
Which is probably something that happened on all of our sets years ago, but I think post-COVID, it does not happen very often. But I don't know if she was a friend of Randy's, who is one of our producers, but it was a woman who had watched the show for 50 plus years. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had an interaction like that with a fan in a really long time. And she was, to your point, just talking about how much the show meant to her. And being in Salem, like on that stage, I could see how much it meant. And I was like, oh, we're not curing diseases, but we are providing people with a very valuable part of their lives, which is a little bit of escapism.
Well, I also think what's different about our genre is that it's a year-round thing. It's not like 23 episodes or 13 episodes.
It's constant.
So you also get to grow with these people, especially like the younger kids. You get to watch them grow. And I mean, you've been on there for 23 years. So people have seen you since you were.
You're a part of their family.
Yeah. I'm like a chair.
I'm like a chair in their living room.
You are. Now,
the real reason we brought you today.
I want to talk about his band.
Yeah. We're auditioning. We want to both audition for the Day Players.
Well, he can't sing.
Oh, you do, huh?
He can't sing.
How are your tambourine skills?
I can sing.
Go for it.
Can you play the cowbell?
I'm not going to sing in front. Well, can anyone?
It's harder than you think.
Really?
Yeah. Carson has a moment in the show where he actually has a shaker and he has the cowbell in his knees and he's hitting the cowbell while doing the shaker. It's pretty impressive. It's my favorite part of the show.
Tell us, what is the band's name?
The Day Players.
The Day Players.
The Day Players. And tell us how that all came to be, because it's a group of men that have been in daytime or are in daytime.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Thank you for calling us men.
We literally feel
like we're little boys out there because it checks so many boxes. Yeah. This little band, like, it's fun. It fulfills my musical fervor. I'm with some of the nicest dudes out there. It's Wally Kurth, Brandon Barrage, Carson Boatman, and myself. And we have another member. His name is Dickie, and he plays the guitar and drums with his feet. He's a virtuoso.
And also probably reminds you of your early days of touring.
Greg, that's it. That's it. And look, there's a certain amount of monotony that comes with what we do on soaps, right? And it is the same kind of thing. The fun thing is the stories
change.
Mm-hmm. But what we do is very, very humdrum sometimes. So being able to have this band, which I've been bugging Wally Kurth for probably 10 years to do this.
Does he sing?
Oh yeah. Wally is a bona fide rock star, man. He is good.
I love Wally
Kurth.
His likability factor is crazy. Yeah. He and Dolly Parton would have a run for their money as far as that contest. He finally said yes when he did an event with Carson Boatman in Nashville, and he was playing with Carson. And Wally texts me out of the blue, "Hey Eric, you know this kid's really good. Like, we might have something here. Are you ready to do the band thing?" He's like, "I think so." called Brandon.
How's Wally doing this? Isn't he on Days of Our Lives and General Hospital?
Like, yeah.
The guy's adding more to his plate.
He is a busy man. But we ended up getting this little band together, and what started as sort of a, let's just see what happens. We now go out at least once a month, sometimes mm-hmm. 4 or 5 shows on our dark weeks. And what was a hobby is now a lovely little lucrative business.
Yeah.
We have merch. We have super passes.
Did you bring any?
What do you want?
I mean, what?
I'll get you an oven mitt or something.
I mean, I flirted with Wally Kurth in a pool once.
He told me about that.
That's super soap. No, he did not.
You flirted with Wally
Kurth.
Back
when I was young.
Yeah. So do you have a booking agent who books you your gigs, or do you play the same?
We do. We do. Coastal Entertainment, and they handle a lot of events that... typically, a lot of the General Hospital community.
Oh, yeah. Who
Maurice, is it? Laura Wright, they all
go
out.
Who at Coastal?
Linda
is
Rowe
Linda,
is
Linda,
her name.
Linda
Coastal
Rowe, yeah,
shout
yeah,
out Linda. To Linda Rowe. She does a great job.
She's awesome.
Juggles a lot of things. Yeah. She's always got our back. I fly out tomorrow to Albany to do a 5-show.
5 shows in Albany? Or do you
no,
travel?
No, 2 shows in Albany. We sold out the 1 show, so we had to add a second show. Then we're going to Maryland. Then we go to Richmond. Then we go to Pottstown, Pennsylvania, where the guy that was my Kinnicky in my high school production of Grease is going to be there with his wife in the front row.
Aww.
He called me up. He's like, Zuko, I'm going to be at your show in Pottstown. And I'm like, cool.
Selling out shows,
so
and we're not even
cool.
in the band yet. Could you imagine how it's going to?
Do you really want to be? We can work this out.
No. You may not want to bring him
You out. Will have to sing for me, though.
I cannot sing.
Do you know James Ingram's Just Once?
This I know the song. I won't embarrass myself or you by singing it for
oh,
you.
But this is what I was going to ask you. What are you singing?
Here's
what do you like to play?
Here's the fun part. Our band, it's all eclectic. It's so eclectic.
I know you sing...
Is it really?
1 minute we're doing Livin' La Vida Loca. The okay. next minute we're singing Adele. The next minute we're doing Let It Go from Frozen.
Their
no,
cover
you
of...
Do not.
Their
then
cover
we're doing
of
the
Let
Black
Go.
Eyed Peas. Then we're doing Uptown Funk. Then we're doing That's Life from Frank Sinatra.
Okay, wait.
So it's
okay,
so
wait, what
funny.
What I want to know is, are you going to bring back the trumpet? You should get on the trumpet.
No.
Oh, my God, that would be so
Rebecca,
fun.
Rebecca, I got PTSD from the freaking...
You don't have braces anymore.
I know.
True, it'd probably be easier,
yes.
but let's face it.
How funny would that be, though, if you bust
come
out
on,
the
man.
Trumpet?
No.
You know what? If I walk past your dressing room one day in the next couple of weeks and I hear, I'm like, aw, he listened. You're practicing your trumpet.
Maybe just, Bill, you respectfully let me be a part of this podcast, so maybe I'll play the trumpet
All
for
right.
you or something.
Please.
Okay, so we're not done with you yet. We have a couple of fan hotline questions for you.
Ooh, okay.
Okay? You want to go first? Because I don't know where mine are.
Hotline.
Yes, I will.
Greg,
can
so
you can you riff for a minute while
your,
we find...
What is your greatest memory with the late Drake Hogestyn?
Oh... Well, not to get too sentimental, but I think it was one of the last scenes we did together. We were in the interrogation room, and he's talking to me about something, and he had to stop tape because he was on chemo, and he would have to excuse himself from the set, come back, gather himself, and just go right back into the scene. And you could tell he was really struggling. And he didn't talk to me much about what was going on. I heard through the grapevine what was wrong with him. I just looked at him and I went, how you doing? We had a 5-minute break and he stayed, how you doing? And he just said, kid, I'm just on a journey. I'm on a journey, it's gonna be good, it's gonna be fun. And that just broke my heart. You know, he was just so, he still wanted to keep telling the story. Even though his body wasn't letting him, but he never complained, never bitched, never said. I don't know. My memory of his is just a man of fortitude and a man that was a storyteller till the end that just wanted to keep doing his job. I mean, he gave Ken Corday his blessing to film his funeral while he was still on this planet. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Ken, are you sure? And he's like, tell the story. I mean, that's a man, that's a guy who is dedicated to what he had been doing for the last 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
So that's my memory of him. Yeah.
It's a good one.
That and some really long stories. That man could tell a tale. If you were ever alone at the airport for like 3 hours, he would fill that time up. Let's go to the lounge and let me tell you a 3-hour Yankee story. Okay.
I had
to. Did you find?
No, I didn't. I was I was invested in that. But I, thanks. I, I got to do that television festival in Monte Carlo once with him and Deidre together.
Oh, that's right.
This is
that's
years
right.
ago. And he was, you know, going on telling some great baseball stories. Mm. And at one point, he was done and I followed up with a question. I can't remember what I asked him. And he kind of ignored me and I asked it again and he ignored me again. And the third time, Deidre whacks me and she goes, "He can't hear you." And I was like, "Oh, he had a hearing aid."
Yes, he did.
He must have not had
yes,
it on.
He did.
Yeah. And I ended up my, you know, my grounded acting method when I would do scenes with him, like, you know, "Dad, I'm not sure if..." "What?" "Dad, I'm not sure that I'm feeling happy right now." You know, and I'd have to, it was just funny.
Yeah.
And he knew it though. He was like, "I can't hear anything you're saying."
Yeah. Okay.
It's adorable.
Next man question. If you had to choose between music and acting, it sounds like you haven't had to, but if you would have to choose, which one would you choose and why?
The harsh reality behind that is I would choose acting because acting pays a little bit better, number one. It's very unfortunate that musical theater does not allow yourself to have the comfortability of life and having a family that one would suspect. Musical theater is so hard. It's so demanding. I did Mamma Mia 2 years ago in Thousand Oaks and it almost broke me.
Eight shows a week.
The amount of shows and the amount that it does to your voice and your body. But the fact is, if you are on Broadway, you are still struggling to pay your rent and to provide for your kids. And I take being a dad very seriously. It's the best thing I've ever done. And in order to do that, you kind of need to act. You kind of need to do that. I know that's not the most flowery answer, but I love it's, both, obviously.
Sure. Do they fulfill you in, if you take, and finances are not nothing, but if you took that out of the equation, would the answer still be the same?
They're both the same things. One, you're just putting tone into your words. You're still telling a story.
Yeah, yeah.
Music, singing is just talking to somebody.
And singing, and I think when you have a live audience,
Well, that you can't put a value on. The immediate gratification and validation that an audience can give you.
Yeah.
And the fear factor of whatever happens on that stage is what happens. Mm-hmm. I dislocated my rotator cuff on opening night in Chicago, doing the, "Hey, hey, hey, Joseph," and just came out. And the conductor stopped the music. And I went upstage and I could see the cast looking at my arm and I just went and shoved it back into place. "One, two, hey, 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 Joe's." And I kept going, finished the thing. But then 2 months later, I was in surgery. But that's the kind of stuff that happens on
Adrenaline's
stage.
Pretty powerful.
It's great.
Yeah.
It was fun. Like I, even though I was in tremendous pain, I was like, that was one of my favorite moments on stage. My arm fell out of its socket and I had to keep going.
Wait, are you now an empty nester?
I will be in probably in 2 months.
How are you going to handle that?
I'm going to call you guys a lot.
You love being a dad.
Fine. We'll be in the day players. Where are we going?
No, that's funny. My wife and I.
Because you only have the two boys, yes?
Yeah. Well, once you have twin boys, you stop.
Yeah, well.
You don't make more people after having twin boys.
The only thing I've heard.
Let's have some more. What, no, are you crazy?
The only thing I've heard that's harder than twin boys is if you have a child first and then you have twin boys. Because you know how hard one is. And then to go to. But twin boys is...
But if you're doing that, I don't think the likelihood of you wanting to have twins after that first baby... who does that? I'm sure there are people out there that are braver than I am that would do that. But no, I stopped. We will be empty nesters. They're going to go to San Diego. And I just had this talk with Lisa last night out in the backyard. We're like, this is going to be great. We're like going to get to know each other again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to get to date again.
Yeah.
We're going to get to remember all the wonderful reasons why we got together in the first place. Because when you're raising twins and having kids, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You can easily get caught in the, the circle.
But then it's so much
harder to stop. It's a daily grind.
But then it's like all the things that you fell in love with in the first place, right? And then the depth of that relationship now, having gone through this 20 year journey together.
So. One of the songs we do with the Day Players is Faithfully by Journey.
Oh, yeah.
And my favorite lyric in there, talk about acting and singing, how they're the same. I don't even have to sing this line. I get the joy of rediscovering you. You're on the road a long time, you come back.
Yeah.
Absence, I missed you, but I get the joy of rediscovering why I chose you in the first place.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And we played Faithfully last night in the backyard and just listened to it. And I'm like, this will be fun.
You're a great guy, Eric Martsoff.
Oh, you are
so
too.
Sweet.
Thanks. No, I'm not. I'm just.
You are. You're so sweet.
I've had a good. I've had a good little run.
I'm not flirting with him.
Do I look like Wally Kurth in a bathtub? Or...
It wasn't a bathtub.
You said it was a bathtub.
Things...
Rewind the tape.
No, I said a pool.
What's the difference?
God,
a pool's a big
bathtub.
This is
how rumors start.
It is. Well, we're starting it. Eric and I are starting it here.
20s,
yeah, let's
okay?
do it. Let's do it. Let's
All right. You're the best. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I
so
very
nice
much
to
appreciate,
finally meet you.
By the way, thank you for doing this.
Thanks. Isn't it great?
This has just been a great platform for our little soap community
well,
to
talk about our lives.
It's wonderful.
We went through a long period of constriction, and I think the genre is thriving in a way that we are really excited to be a part of to help platform all the
great talent. And we have a lot of interesting
talent.
People in this community that, you know.
We really, really do.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Greg. I think there's a little resurgence going on.
For sure. Mm-hmm. In a big way.
The Gates picked up for 2 years. We're not slowing down.
Nope. No.
It's I'm really excited about it because I feel like I would do this till the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything better that I would want to do, actually.
You can catch my pal, who is a lovely guy, daily on Days of Our Lives, streaming on Peacock. And you can watch this episode, as well as any other episode of Soapy that you may have missed, on the CBS YouTube channel. And you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you again, Eric, for being with us.
Thank you.
I had a ball.
We did too.
So did I.
I had a ball. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.